Some through the fire, some through the fire,
but all through
the blood.
Some through
great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season. And all the day long.
Amen. Do you believe it? Let's just bow our heads this evening. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you're leading us along, Lord, that you're taking our hand, Lord. Lord, you're rescuing us from our own flesh that would destroy us, Lord. Lord, you're rescuing us, Father, from so many voices of this age that would lead us along. Lord, you do it, Lord, in a peculiar way, Lord, through trials and sorrows and darkness of night, Lord, so that we look to you, Lord, that we fix our eyes upon you, Lord, that we're aware, Lord, in those times that it is the Lord. Thank you, Father, for that. Thank you that in those times, Lord, that we don't despair, Lord, that even though we're perplexed, Lord, we're not put down, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you are greater than our trials. You're greater than any mountain, Lord. You're greater than any feeling in our body tonight. You're greater than any trouble in our mind. Lord, I just feel faith rise up inside of me, Lord, just to know, Lord, that you're greater, Lord, than any trial. You're greater than any dark times in our life, Father. You lead us along, Lord. We thank you now, Lord, and we just commit this service into your hands this evening, Father. We pray you'd bless each one here tonight. Lord, just thank you for every dear heart here this morning or this evening, and we ask, Father, that everyone would go away with a huge blessing from you. Lord, that our hearts would just be so burning, Lord, that we'd want to share to someone else, Lord. We'd have enough to spare to pass on. We thank you now, Lord. Just settle us down in your presence. Take all anxiety away. Take all fear and doubt and mental intellectual conception, Father. Lord, and just may we feast at your table. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. While you're standing, we'll jump right into the Word. Good evening. God bless you. We'll turn to Luke chapter 21. Brother Jesse sure enjoyed the sermon on Sunday. Just the things that have been burning on my heart. Didn't you all enjoy that? So good. Welcome back, Brother Donis and Mary. I hope you had a good time. And send greetings from the family. I'm so excited for the season to be over so that Bethany can be in church without distractions from you know who. So she gets a lot more at home where she can put him up to bed and then come back and watch the service. Otherwise, she's just in the cry room the whole time and not really getting anything. And so I say, hey, if the results are in and she's able to get more from home, and praise the Lord. So let's dive into Luke 21 and let's just read verse 8. Just want to take a thought. Okay, we're all gathering our thoughts. I'm going to give you a topic so that way you know where to sort it, is to have, to look up and to why, to have the right perspective. And to take time to dive into it a little bit deeper than we've maybe heard it before. But looking up, changing our perspective would be the text. And let's read it in verse 8. I'm in John. I should go back to Luke. Luke 21. in verse 8, and he said, take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and that draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be ye not terrified, for these things must first come to pass. But the end is not by and by. Then he said unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. Is any of this sounding familiar? No? Okay. I thought so. And great earthquakes shall be in many places, diverse places, and famines and pestilence. Well, and we know, we've heard that word pestilence. You know, that's all these diseases and COVID things and fearful sights. Whoa. Fearful sights. Things that could trouble us by looking at them. And great signs shall there be in heaven. But before all these, and we're going to stop right there. Let's ask the Lord's blessing on the reading of the word. Heavenly Father, Lord, just open up our eyes of understanding to look up, to look to you, change our perspective, Lord. Lord, we're not complete yet, Lord. We're not that completeness so that we can be raptured yet, Father. But Lord, in part, Lord, we're understanding this. Lord, give us another slice of that part, Lord, to understand what it means to look up, Lord, to have your perspective, Lord, and to look through your eyes. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. I'm going to read it to you in the Weast a little bit. Oh, it's so good. And it's something is so powerful about our human eye. I was on the way here and just studying and thinking about this, and I saw a pro-choice abortion billboard, and it was like, to think that all these people are being, or like, they're barring our women from getting abortions. And it was just like this black picture, and these women just like so sad that they can't get an abortion. And you look at that, and it just seeing 1 second, I'm driving by really fast, and you just see it for a second. For that one time, it was just like, oh, man. And it just made me go down the merry-go-round of like why I hate abortion and like how I could be this advocate and just stand on the streets and pray and this and that. And it's just like this unrest in my mind. But in that moment, that's not what I'm supposed to be doing at this moment. And yet it was just one look, Brother Dawson Mary, was enough to just distract me from what I was supposed to do now, right now. And even though it was something very righteous. So I love when we read again in the Weast, Luke 21:8. And he said, ever be keeping a watchful eye upon yourselves, lest you be led astray. And moreover, when you hear of wars, disturbances, and disorders, oh man, that's been 2020, 2019 with the people storming the Capitol and sitting in the chair and all this stuff. And you see this and you're just, it's disturbing. It's really disturbing. So, but because we looked at it, right? Because we heard about it. But mainly things with those, I still have images in my head that just make, if I think about them, they just kind of chat my hide a little bit. Just thinking about what I saw. Wars, disturbances, and disorders, do not begin to be terrified. You know, it's a process, right? That Satan's trying to, again, that continual, that fret meaning continual wearing down, Brother Ron, right? Is don't begin to be terrified. For it is a necessity in the nature of the case. I'm sorry, this is Wednesday night. So, but just everybody just, it says, for it is a necessity in the nature of the case for these things to take place first. I'm going to read that one more time. For it is a necessity in the nature of the case for these things to take place first, but the end is not immediately. I thought, wow, what a way to say it. You know, we want the end to be immediately. We want to tap out of this race sometimes, don't we, Josh? And then he was saying to them, there shall rise nation against nation and kingdom against kingdom, earthquakes, great ones, in various places, pestilences and famines there shall be, also things that will terrify and great attesting miracles from heaven. I love this part. So listen close. And then shall they say, they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and much glory. Now, when these things are beginning to take place, be elated and lift up your heads because your deliverance is imminent. Okay. Be elated. Oh, when these things begin to happen, disturbances. Oh, no, he's just talking about the cloud of glory part, right? No, when these things begin to happen, that's our sign. It's just like when we're at the airport, Sister Mary, right? You know, and when we have to go through the whole process and the stress of buying tickets and this and that to get out of here and go somewhere where we really want to go. And the whole process, we're elated already because we've already gone through the process. Even though it's our last day of work and we're trying to wrap things up and we're just trying to get things going, we're already elated. Like, oh, yeah, we're going on a trip. Sometimes we're pretty stressed and we're not remembering to do that. But we're already just so euphoric because even though we're doing all the process things and we see everything come and we see our gate and we see, oh, we have a delay, we're still elated because we're already at the airport. We're already at the closing. We're already at the gate. And saints of God, we're at the gate. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, we're seeing everything sounded familiar in there. Praise God. What a wonderful thing. What elation that should give us. That we're like, oh, well, there hasn't been any earthquakes. No, that's not true. Any pestilence. No. Oh, there's pestilences. We didn't see it. We saw pestilences, you know, maybe a little bit. But, I mean, we had the one that Brother Alfred's family had gotten down in Africa. Is it Ebola? Yeah, Ebola. And that was huge. And you know, like, we had the swine flu. We had all these. And then all of a sudden, COVID. And it's like, praise God. Here comes the pestilences. We know we're close, right? And you could say this is but this isn't a positive, you know, power meeting or anything like that. This is what we're looking at as indicators to know that we're almost there. We're almost there. When these things begin to take place, be elated and lift up your heads because your deliverance is imminent. So then keep your head up. It's not just look up. It's keep your head up, right? So that's good. So looking up does many things and makes us aware of many things. You know, how many times have you seen the most amazing thing, Eliana, out the window when you're driving in the van and you're like, and your sisters are reading books and you're like, everybody look out the window quick, it's going by. And they're like this and they go, huh? What was that? And you're like, no, now, look up now. Right? Because you want them to be aware of something and dad's not going to turn this van around. Right? So that's why maybe you're like, oh, I'm going to tell them afterwards how much they should look up next time so that they don't miss it next time. And so then that way, Sophie and Isabel just look up right away. Why? Because then they're like, oh, she said it. Oh, she always finds amazing things out the window. Boom. Look up. Right? And pay attention. We always hear, I mean, if you want to be one of the biggest word searches or word hits in the message is look. Look. He just kept seeing, look. In the scripture, you know, Paul says, you know, look on us. You know, behold, everything is, pay attention, eyes on me. But what does it do? What does it do to look up? What's the whole point? Is it just to get a wonderful feeling and see that we have a great perspective? Like, we know we're coming at the gate, right? But it also adjusts, we're just giving an overview, but it adjusts our trust issues. In this world, everybody has trust issues. Who should we trust? Oh, we should trust this news source, trust that news source. Well, I don't know. Like, you should check that, at least check that on, you know, maybe LanceArmstrong.com, you know, like to see if that's a viable health source, you know, for that supplement. All these things, we're just all trying to trust these things. And but when we look up, all of a sudden we go, oh, much better. Oh, that's right. Now we remember where we're trusting it. It relieves our anxieties, just like we showed. And remembers that he has that power to perform. Remember now who, I mean, it's like you listen to a healing sermon, a healing service at the end of the sermon, Sister Anna, like all these wonderful stories where you hear, like, still one of my favorites is Power of Decision, where he's like, He's like, "You're healed, sister, in Jesus' name." And he's like, "Isn't it wonderful? The angel of the Lord standing right by the woman." And it just gives me goosebumps just now. Because you think about, that's how real it is. The angel of the Lord standing right by the woman. And it relieves our anxieties, because it remembers he's in charge. It renews our affections upon Christ. I get out of affection for Christ. I'm going to be the first one to say it. I'll want to listen to this documentary and this podcast and that. Oh yeah, I'm going to get on my way home from work. I'm going to listen to my, info podcast on some topic and this and that. And because I love information, which is okay. But if it gets our affections on information and not on Christ, something's wrong. So we have to continue to look up, keep our head up, because it renews our affections upon Christ. And we are very loyal to our affections, aren't we? I don't want to do that. I don't think that's what I want to do. Well, no, it's the best thing ever, right? I mean, how many times, Noah, I'm sure you and Micah have had times where you just try to get Micah to do something, and he's like, "Oh, I don't know if I want to do that." And if you're like, "If I can just make him like doing this, I got him." But you have to, so you're like, "How can I do this?" And that's changing his affections towards what he's doing to what you want to do. And that's what Christ wants for us as well. And it changes our ways to his ways. We all know this. His thoughts are higher. His ways are higher. We look up. All of a sudden, we get into his ways. It's not this bad. I think sometimes we get it backwards. Like, "Oh, Lord, give me your ways. Oh, Lord, give me your thoughts." Well, all you have to do is dive in and look into the Word and look into everything that he has, and we gain his perspective. It's not just praying for that, but saying, "Lord, give me a hunger to have your perspective, and then I'll have your thoughts and your ways. Give me a hunger to feast on the Word of God, so then I just can see it through your eyes, because this is your brain, this is your mind, this is your heart." Right? Amen. It also, so looking up also gives us authority by reminding our poor, forgetful, tired humanists who we really are. Brother David, you are an overcomer. You're possessing the gates of your enemy. Sister Lori, you're doing the same. Lilia, Zoe, you are an overcomer. Because it says, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Anyone in the world. That's God, Christ, overcoming through you. And so when we wake up, so many times we identify with just the natural, our aches and pains. Or if you're young and don't have aches and pains, it's, "Oh, I wish I could grow up." Because you don't know that there's aches and pains coming. All right? But we all think about these things of like, "Oh, yeah, this is me. This is me waking up." But when we look up, we get up, but we don't look up. We forget to look up, right? All right? So a lot of times we just look down, right? But we don't look up. And to see what God has for us in the Word. But I'm going to read that again. Looking up gives us authority by reminding our poor, forgetful, tired humanists who we really are. And because when we know who we are, like Brother Branham said, we'll be an invincible army. We're an invincible army, each one of us. Can we say that out loud one time? I'm an invincible army. I am an invincible army, right? He's the high priest of our confession. I'm an invincible army. I can't be stopped because Christ is inside me. It reminds us of our expected end. Can you imagine if they made a Bible for the people with no expected end? We take out, "Fear not, for I have overcome the world." We take out Jeremiah 29:11, "I know the plans that I have for you." We take out all these different promises out of the Scripture just to give a glum Bible that just held stories of people in the Bible. No, there would be hardly any Bible left because it's all in there, every chapter, every verse. Looking up again changes our awareness to remember, like, "Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm having a hard day," like the song said, "Some through the waters, some through the flood." right on the job site, right in the mud. Right? That's what happened to me. I'm trying to be funny. I apologize. But I remember working, hanging gutters, and we come on a job site that didn't have landscape sod down. And we had to put gutters on a three-story roof in that yard. And it had just rained, and we had have mud this deep. And you would, and Dave brought this waterphobic spray fill up on his shoe so they could put on his shoes. I'm like, oh yeah, this is so cool. I've seen this in the commercials where they spray the cement block and you spray it and it's not wet. So we put that on our stuff and we're thinking, then when we step in the mud, we'll just step right out and step on the ladder. It'll be great. And it worked about for like 5 seconds. And then we're just, and we still have to go up and we have to be up 3 stories in the air and we're looking down in mud and then our ladders are starting to lean. Right? And this is the trials of his life. But to think, oh, he's already won. He's already overcome. Praise God. This is just nothing. This is just a drill. This is just, you know, praise, we, you know, it's the perspective, right? Rather than looking down at the mud and thinking I'm going to fall. It excites us with that heavenly eternal longing that we have. Oh, I want to see him look upon his face. Right? And it's just, it brings back where our treasure is again, right? Using all his ways to look up ultimately ends with all of our thoughts are of God and all of our ways and all of our movings, all of God completely and obedient, doing nothing except what the Father shows us. It's this pinnacle I almost got ahead of myself there, but just this pinnacle of everything outside stimulation gives us again that relief. Oh, he's coming. It seems almost insanity to think anything mud, you know, working around other people on the job site, Nate, trying to get your job done and whatnot, and all these different things that we go into, Nate. All those crashing computers and things I don't know about. But all these crazy things where it's like, oh, that's right. And it's like, to think, I mean, it seems so insane, again, to say, for the joy he endured the cross. It wasn't for the steroids that he took the day before, because he's like, I got to bulk up and get ready. And I'm on this three-year workout program because I got to, you think about all these nampy-pampy in comparison, these Iron Man, where they do like, you know, 10 marathons or whatever. They do all these things. And they, there's a guy that did an Iron Man. He did like 55 Iron Mans in consecutive days in a row, where he did just like marathon after marathon after marathon. And you think about Christ, how he had to go through what he went through. But first he had to be rejected by mankind, spit on, lashed, you know, with a whip 39 times, completely void of all human appearance because of the lacerations all over his body, bleeding out, and then carry a cross up a hill. And how did he do it? It was for the joy. And it was that, I believe, he was seeing that vision of us, you know, and being with us, praise God. He looked at that. He looked to the unseen. It's not just what we physically see, but we're looking by faith for that joy of being with him. To think, you know, if we can hear, you know, for every problem that we have in our lives, every situation, Jamie, every situation, Jesse, that we can say, we can hear, fear not, I've overcome the world. You know, just to see him on the cross, see him, you know, stepping up that hill, saying, it's okay, don't be afraid, I've overcome the world. How many people maybe he talked to on the way up the hill that were maybe loved him, and he said, don't be afraid, I've overcome the world. And he's smiling, just bloody, but just with joy, that strength of that joy. What a wonderful thing. God is sovereign. That's helped me so many times. It's looking in the unseen and saying it out loud to get me, get my thoughts, get my emotions, get my everything in tune again with God's perspective. God is sovereign. Praise God for that. For he, even in Satan's Eden, for his chosen, and he is greater, which means he is more than enough. We have him who is more than enough. It's trusting that God is sovereign. It's more than that God is sovereign. It's trusting that he is sovereign. So many times we can say that, but do we really mean it? Do we believe it? Are we leaning on he who is sovereign in that moment? It's not in our self-sovereignty. It's not how much food we have or guns we have or this and that. It's that God is sovereign. It's not how much we can try and try and try. So many times we try so hard, right? And yet we have to just put it in his hands sometimes and say, God is sovereign in this situation, Linnell. Okay, let's go into application a little bit. Let's get out the tools of this. I love this, what C.T. Studd said about trusting in God. He says, before the world, before the sleepy, lukewarm, faithless, namby-pamby Christian world, we will dare to trust our God. We will venture our all for him. We will live and we will die for him. And we will do it with his joy unspeakable, singing aloud in our hearts. Isn't that wonderful? It's not this, if I could just drag myself along to glory, right? Even though sometimes I feel like we're dragging. I'm 38. And I feel like I'm dragging myself along, my body along. So I can't imagine someone who's 39 and up. It's hard sometimes. I just went to morning merch, got transferred to produce. And so I knew I'd be lifting a lot. And sure enough, right before then, my middle knuckle started to swell up and hurt every time I moved it just a little bit. And I was thinking, Lord, how am I going to lift, boxes for 4 hours that like average 40 pounds if my middle knuckle has swelled up for like 2 weeks now and now I'm going to be lifting things? But the Lord did it and it's okay. He's so wonderful. Christ said, fear not, I have overcome the world. Do you believe it? I love this from, just talking about God's sovereignty, just thinking about this. This is from the manifestation of the Spirit. God is obligated to his word. He cannot lie. So think about that scripture. Fear not, for I have overcome the world. Debbie. God is obligated to his word. God cannot lie. The Bible says he can't. So there's one thing that God can't do. And when God says anything and makes a promise, God can't take that promise back. Because he's God and he's sovereign and he can't go back on that promise. How many believe that's true? I mean, reminding us ourselves of every promise in the scripture. When we look up, he's obligated to his word. The part right before that, Brother Ron, he was saying how that God can't do anything. He said God can't do anything he wants to do. He's obligated to his word. And if he said it, he will do it. He has to do it. We see so many any scriptures, and because of time, we're already at 8:30. We won't go into them, but we think about, let's just go back in the Bible. Let's go back to the Old Testament. Let's to the time of Jehoshaphat. And one of my favorite verses, and how you remember this, remember how there was a report that come out. All these other people had been conquered by the enemy. Was it the Amorites, I believe, or the Assyrians? And how that they had already defeated them all, right, Derek? And they said, and they brought out their news reporters, right? And they said, now, today in the news, we've already defeated this person. You might as well just save us some money and use some time and bloodshed. And let's just make this happen. And no, we trust in the name of the Lord. And that's important because we live in a very big news report society. And we'll come back to that if we have time. But I love how you remember this verse is that it's 2 Chronicles 20:20. It's your 2020 vision. That's how you remember the key verse in there. And you know it is that, as he said, set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of God. Is that set ourselves, focus, look to God, trust. But you see, we all know the story, the everything that transpired, how that Jehoshaphat went to the Lord right away. Just like David said, where does my help come from? I look to the hills where comes my help, the mountains where comes my help. My help comes from the Lord. Amen. I'll be the first to confess that I am too aware of this world and not aware enough of Christ at every moment of my day. Isn't it true how we see that? Was anyone, I'll ask you a question, was anyone aware of his presence, the Lord's presence in their day today, where you just had that awareness and you just had that? Derek, were you aware of his presence today? Anything in any interactions today? We get so busy. We have so much to do as a husband and a provider, a wife, a provider, right? Right. We have to, Derek had to think back, but there was that time, right? And why? Because even sometimes we're sitting in church and we're not even aware of, at the moment when God moved in our day. And sometimes even remembering what God has done today, what God is doing right now, in today. And if we didn't have that, why? Maybe we weren't paying attention. Maybe we weren't ready for that time when that happened. Like I tell you about the lady at work where I passed her by. Her name is Sue. She's a sweet lady in her 70s, and she's a CDS lady. And I just heard, go talk to her. And I was aware, but I was unwilling. And I just kind of walked by, and I just felt like this giant elastic band just tied in my heart. And then just, okay, hi, Sue, how are you? And all of a sudden, she just, said hi. But then she's like, oh, she broke down. And she says, my brother just passed away. Will you pray? And it just, all those little things, like, David, your little story about Larry at Home Depot. It's all those little things. We all have those things, Anna. Oh, all those things, Brother Greg, where I love the disciples. It is the Lord. They were aware. And they God has a way of showing us personally how we need to see that he's there, right? We could all think of things. I know when my aunt passed away, her daughter, my aunt was all about the blessings of a dime. God just raining down her dimes for her. And after that, my cousin saw dimes everywhere, all over the sidewalk. Someone would be like, hey, is this your dime? And it just started, people were handing her dimes all over the place. And she's like, oh, in this moment of my grieving, oh, I'm just finding dimes all over. And she's just saying, oh, that's the Lord. And it just helped her. It was the Lord's way of just being sweet to her and just saying, oh, I'm aware of his presence. And he's just, isn't he sweet to do that? I love how Brother Bram always said, no, something's fixing to happen. And I think sometimes we feel it, but we don't quantify it as that. And I've started to use that, or either it is the Lord or something's fixing to happen. I think I told you about how quickly when we were seeing Jason and Amy and our flight got delayed, 2 or 3 times. And we were like, we had prayed together in the foyer and we were like, okay, off we go. And then I looked at my text. I was like, ding, ding, flight delayed 1 hour. Okay. All right. Well, we got another hour. Got in the van this time. Ding, ding, delayed 1 hour. Okay. Let's come back in the house. And then finally it was like, oh, if you would have come for your original flight, we could have actually gotten you home earlier. And it was so, you feel this, like, again, don't begin to be upset. Don't begin to be terrified. Don't begin to be, right? Don't even begin. And I had, all of a sudden I just had this thought. I thought, I just could, you can just sense it. I said, it is the Lord. And I told everybody, I said, we're not going to be upset about this. It is the Lord. And sure enough, as I'm getting on the connecting flight, I hear Stephen, and I see someone I knew. And here I sat down next to them and their friend, and we're just talking, and they're Christians and whatnot. And then all of a sudden we get on the flight, and 20 minutes later, they're like, so Stephen, we wanted to ask you a question, because I know you know the word. What is the Holy Ghost? And all of a sudden, just all these questions, and they're like, all our questions are being answered. And we had prayer at the airport, and all this stuff happened. And I explained what had happened. I said, I knew this was the Lord. I just didn't know what it was, but I knew it was the Lord. Again, being aware, looking up, not just for our overall well-being, but for the moment, right, when he's there. Let's read Isaiah 54. This is such a good one. Let's see where I'm at here. Let's go down to verse 17, and this is a really good chapter for perspective. This is your homework, is to read Isaiah 54 this week. It's such a good one. And I'm sorry to not just roll over every word of this chapter. Let's just go to verse 16. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work, and I have created the waster to destroy. My, I think that when calamities are happening, there's even a waster to destroy that God has created. What is this? What does it mean? But here's the part that's for us, is no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that thou that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. I thought I'd written it down, but that scripture, of all things I could say and misspeak, eye has not seen nor ear hath not heard. Thank you, Derek. I've been up since 3:45. So please, time to put on the bumpers. Eye hath not seen, ear has not heard, nor is even entered into the heart of man for what God has in store for those that love him. So I have to speak in code because my children are listening. But there's something laid up in store for certain events coming up that is profitable for their entertainment and joy. It rhymes with joy, actually. And I was so excited because it's something that I've always wanted growing up, which means that there's joy waiting for me, too. And I put it at work up on the cabinet, and I'm looking at it, and all of a sudden I heard that scripture, Derek, of as eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor was entered into the heart of man, what's laid up that God has in store for us. And I thought, God has it in storage, Brother Ron. God has it in storage for you, Sister Karen. It actually has a bow on it. It has your name on it. And I think about this, you know, us as parents, right? How we go, you know, we write down their child's name and we go, man, they got to wait 4 months for this. Right? And then you just put it up there and they're like, if they only knew. But it wouldn't be as great, right, Josh, if they knew. But you think like, why do we do this? Why do we lay it up in store? Because it's that anticipation. It's not functional to just say, you know what, we had all these gifts for Christmas, but we're going to give them to you in July. You won't get anything for Christmas, though. And they would say, yeah, right? And then Christmas would come and they go like, yeah, this isn't very fun. Right, because there's nothing laid up for them for the future. And I was thinking, like, God has so many things in storage for us. So many things. And what's neat is, I preached one time, is that our prayer closet is actually a storage room in Scripture. It's actually a place where they would store goods, so that spiritually we can go into our prayer closet, and sometimes we can come out of God's attic. Like Brother Branham said, you know, prayer is God's stepladder to get up in his attic and get those things out of storage for us. Isn't that neat? Just look up sometime, it's God's stepladder. It's such a neat thing. And how that prayer is God's stepladder, because sometimes we can't just reach those things that God has in store for us until we get into prayer and reach up. And that's, again, looking up, right? Amen. Oh, can I have 5 more minutes? Okay. How about 7? We get an even 8:50, because it's 8:43. Okay. Looking up, who has believed our report? Who has believed his report? Thinking about that, how that if you look at that scripture, it's all about believing. But I wrote it down in my notes. But it's the scripture where it says, "How can you hear without a preacher?" And then once they've heard, they've got to believe. They got to be obedient. They've got to. But it's, again, it goes back to the report. Is that we are living in an age of so many reports. We live. Someone's reporting the news on this, and what is a report, Derek? What is a report? Bad stuff, right? Yeah, that's what we think of, right? And just in. Oh, great. What's this going to be? Click, right? Because that's right. Versus his report, right? Is this just in? Oh, praise God. What has he got for me today, right? And so, but it's amazing how it makes us very skeptical in general when we hear, I'm here to report something. You go, okay, I'm not going to believe you, but go ahead. I'm listening, right? And so when God has something for us, sometimes I think we forget to turn that off and say, okay, I'm listening, but okay, that's you, Stephen, or that's you, so-and-so. Okay, tell me. Well, I'll think about that, and maybe in 2 or 3 weeks, maybe it'll just pop. Like, oh, yep, that's good. But we're so skeptical, and we have to be so vigilant in this age, and it's good. Because you see people that aren't vigilant, and you have to tell them things like Derek will tell me, well, it's how you look at it, Stephen. I'm looking at one perspective, and then he says, well, Stephen, but you could look at it this way. He's making me aware of something else that I'm not seeing from one side of it. We have to have vigilance. We have to have, not believe every report. We have to believe the report of the Lord. We have to, and that report, in the scripture, it means a message. You know, it means there are so many messages in this world, and as an intent behind the message. It could be a Christian YouTube one minute faith talk, and it could have an intent that came from theology and not neology, and came from everything but the age. I have a dear friend of mine who will send me things, and you can tell, like, he's getting his information from all the sources that we do, CBN and whatnot, but their intent is they've never heard the sermon, the indictment, so they don't know that it's over for this country. All these different things. And then we say, yeah, we got to do something. Oh, wait, it's over for this nation, right? And so for us to say, hey, look, this is what we have in this day. This is what's happened already. Change our perspective. Sometimes, okay, this is the last thought I'd like to give you is, sometimes the problem is just looking. Sometimes we just need to not look, right? Is how many times have you watched with all your parents to have a child that is pouring their first glass of milk, and they have the full jug of milk, and they're going to pour it.
I can't watch.
Right? Thank you. Thank you. Right. Whereas I would be like, okay, let me just get behind you and pour it. Like, and they're not really doing it. But I know they have to learn, so I just don't look. I just, like Brother Ron said, I just don't look. And that's good. That's good because then they can do it without this watchful eye, you know, and whatnot. And, but you think about this. Have you ever realized that, I'll just cut to the chase, the story of Lot? Have you, and, because it says, in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, so shall it be in the coming of the Lord, right? And we know that we remember Lot's wife, how she looked back. Why did she look back? Because it was in here, unseen, she was still looking, right? We know that. But I didn't even realize this until I was reading through it, Derek, when I was back there, is that I've heard said, sometimes it's better, it's easier to change your environment than it is to change your mind. We know the scripture says, flee youthful lusts. It doesn't say, overcome youthful lusts. That even though we will overcome, it says, flee it. Run away from it. Look at Joseph with Potiphar's wife. He didn't say, I just won't look, and I'm just going to keep working over here. No, he ran out of there, right? Because it's getting out of that environment. But I didn't notice this, Derek, is that if you look, we know that there was a command from the angels, and we're not going to, you don't have to turn there, Genesis 19. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, he said, escape for their life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. It's interesting because Lot's wife disobeyed, looking behind her. Lot disobeyed by not fleeing to the mountains. And I believe, from what you can see in Scripture, the reason why Lot's wife looked is because Lot didn't flee to the mountains. Because if we skipped the chase, or kept the chase, what does Lot say when the angel tells him the command to do? He says, he reasoned with him, but the first thing he said is, it was in verse 21. Was it? Say what? Can you say that a little louder, Brother Greg? The tone of nod, yes. I'm just going to have to go there. This is so good. Genesis 19. I hope none of us are in the town of Nod tonight. And then let's go down to the 20s. And down into 20, and then 21, and he says, let's just read at, verse 18, excuse me. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord. So here he's heard a report, he's heard what to do, and he says, oh, not so, my Lord, right? And he says, behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, verse 19, and thou hast magnified the mercy which thou hast showed up unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take hold of me, and I die. Right, he didn't even believe. See, he was so skeptical. He says, you're going to just send me to a place where I'll die. It's a Zoar. He says, yeah, go to Zoar. Yeah, but hold now. Oh, this city is near to flee unto and is a little one. It's just a little city. And it's a city. I like cities. I'm not like a backwoods person. I'd rather be in the city. But he says, and this one's very near. Wow. Now, and then if we look, is in the name of the city, verse 22, was Zoar. And so, because the angel said, haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Get out of there. And the name of the city was called Zohar. And we've looked in verse 22 and verse 23, excuse me. And the sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zohar. So it was morning. So here now we see a whole different context. My Bible story book always said, Lilia and Zoe, that it showed Lot's wife, and she was just about maybe a mile outside of the city, and it was burning, and she looks back and she turns into salt. But our Bible says it was morning time, and they were in the city of Zohar, and she looked back and turned to salt. Because she went to Zohar. She didn't go to the mountains, but they went to a close city where they could still see. They could look and see the city that they come from, Josh. It's what an amazing thing. So again, flee to where a place where you can't see the evil, where you can't see that and be tempted. Again, and here he's the just to drive home, and we are out of time. To drive home again is that, you know, for our families as leaders of our home, men of God, is that we have to not let our affections say, well, you know, this is just a little movie, this is a little this or a little that, because of our affections, because they're not set on things above. Lot's affections was not set on things above. And now all of a sudden, he lost his wife just because he kept her in proximity to the city of Sodom. Whereas, you think about it, when God provides a way of escape, is it a way of escape? I mean, what I understand is that God's provided a way, there would be no evil befall. We always make it about Lot's wife. If she wouldn't have just looked back. If Lot would have just obeyed in the first place, and for us husbands and fathers and men of God to lead our family and to not be and to be fully obedient, to not put the world in proximity to our families where they're trapped and ensnared. Like we heard, offend means to ensnare with temptation, to not offend these little ones. Let the little children come unto me and don't. And isn't it amazing how offend or ensnare, right? I remember can I have one more minute? I'm so sorry. Corrie ten Boom's grandfather, when she asked him what something was and it was too heavy for her, he said, it's like you lifting my suitcase and it was too heavy. How that sin at too young of an age is like making something too heavy for someone. And here the person that would be judged for ensnaring someone in sin, a child in sin, would be have a millstone placed around their neck and cast in the midst of the sea. So their punishment was just like what they would be doing to a child, putting a temptation on them that was too heavy to carry, and it would drown them and give them spiritual death. So how important for us, again, as we close, to look up for our families, to change our perspective, to lead our families, to lead others to Christ, to have peace, have joy and love in the Holy Ghost. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word tonight, Lord. Please forgive me for going over time. I pray that everyone would forgive me and that you would help us, Lord Jesus, to have our perspective changed, Lord. We thank you now. We ask, Lord, that you would just woo us, Lord, and speak softly to us, Lord, and quicken these things as we go home now, Lord, and take your name with us, Lord, and as we get into bed and as we get up in the morning, to remember to look up, Lord, and to lift up our heads, for the King of Glory is coming back for his bride. We thank you now, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Let's just all stand. Can we sing that song? Who has a song? Anybody have a song? Jesse. Yeah, that's a wonderful one. I think that's in the insert, isn't it? Because I think we have... 46. Thank you, Nate. Can we do the verses, Sister Karen? In the key of G. when the valley is deep, when the mountain is steep, when the body is weary, when we stumble and fall, when the choices are hard, when we're battered and scarred, when we've spent our resources, when we've given our all, in Jesus' name we press on. In Jesus' name we press on. Dear Lord, with the prize clear before our eyes, we find the strength to press on. Now let's just sing the chorus again. In Jesus' name we press on. In Jesus' name we press on. Dear Lord, with the prize our heads bowed. Brother Josh, would you just close us in a word of prayer?